On the thought for today, we lift up the scriptures, commonly called the Bible. I'm Stephen Yah, and we're going to go with scriptures from the so-called New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5:15. I say so-called because it's not really that new, it's 2,000 years old. And the Old Testament, which we'll just call the older scriptures, the New Testament we'll call the newer scriptures, generally speaking anyway, but 2 Corinthians 5, and this is the bait. This is the bait here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And that the Messiah died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And we'll come back later to that fifth chapter. We're going to go back to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remained is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we have great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the name the same veil untaken away in the reading of the older scriptures, which veil is done away with in the Messiah. The veil is taken away when we are in the Messiah. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil was upon their face. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to Yahweh, the veil shall be taken away. Now Yahweh is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the esteem, the power of Yahweh, we are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, or image to, rather, from esteem to esteem, power to power, even as by the Spirit of Yahweh. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 10 to 18, 10 to the end there, always bearing about in the body the dying of Yahusha, the Messiah. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Messiah, that the life also of Yahusha might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Messiah's sake, that the life also of Yahusha might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Father, knowing that he, the Father, which raised up Yahusha, the Messiah, he shall raise up us also by the Messiah, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant favor and grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the esteem and the power of Yahweh. For which cause we don't faint, we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of esteem, while we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then continuing in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of Yahweh, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. If our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have the building by Yahweh. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Oh, that's real. That's the right bait. That is certainly the right bait. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So we're clothed by him, by the Messiah. For we that are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is Yahweh, who has also given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from Yahweh. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with Yahweh. Of course, that was 2 Corinthians 5:8, and we know that by reading all the other scriptures that have to do with our death and resurrection. If we go to 1 Thessalonians 5, for example, we know that first the dead in Messiah shall rise, and then we which remain and are alive shall be gathered up together with him. must be something in my throat there. Maybe a frog having triplets. So we know that in the future, when he comes back, when the Messiah comes back in that second coming, that's the bait there, that he's, according to the book of the Revelation, the book of Daniel, and many other passages, Thessalonians, 2 Peter, chapter 3, we know that we shall look forward to seeing the Messiah face to face. And that's our blessed hope. That's the bait that we want to have there. We are confident and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with Yahweh someday when he comes. And I think it's going to be soon. Most people think it's, you know, that it happened yesterday at the way they had talked, but we know it didn't happen. But I still have the belief that we're coming on the end of the 7,000, or excuse me, at the end of the 6,000th year of the reign of man. The 7,000th year, the rest year, is coming up, and that'll be around the year 2030 or 2033, depending upon how a person reckons. So about 20 years from now, or less, something big could happen. Yeah, if it doesn't happen, that doesn't mean that that it isn't ever going to happen. It just means that our reckoning of the time in the future, that we were wrong about that. So 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now here's verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of Yahweh, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto Yahweh. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So I praise Yahweh that when we appear before the judgment seat of the Messiah, of Yahusha, that we shall have a clean slate, thanks to the guidance of the Spirit of Yahweh, thanks to his death, burial, and resurrection, and thanks to his making righteousness in us, causing us to walk in his law and to be obedient. We'll talk about a little bit about that later, about obedience. But verse 16, going now to verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man, we don't know a man after the flesh, yea, though we have known the Messiah after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're looking forward to a new life, and we can have new life just by receiving the Messiah into our lives, into our hearts, and by surrendering to him. And we go down in the watery grave of baptism or immersion. It says there in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be immersed in the name of Yahusha, Messiah. Of course, they use different names in different versions of the Bibles, but we understand here through our study that it's probably Yahusha. At least that's closer than the other names that that we've studied so far. So be baptized and be immersed in the name of Yahusha, Messiah. And, well, that's, we're looking forward to paradise. The scriptures are the last instructions before we enter the throne room into the New Jerusalem, into paradise, for all of eternity with Yahweh and Yahusha his son in heaven and in the heavens. And the scripture is the roadmap. Which scripture? Well, all of them, except where they have been clearly abrogated or done away with. Matthew 4:4 says that man is to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. That's Matthew 4:4, and also Luke 4, and about verse 4. In 10 of my best years ahead, what would I trade to enjoy heaven, but give up all else here? And in the 10 of my worst years ahead, what would I trade to enjoy heaven, but give up all else here just to be with the Savior? Well, I'm going to give up the 10 or the 20 of the best and the worst years of my life ahead, but that doesn't gain me any purchase in heaven. Just trusting in the Messiah and doing his will, that's what gets me into paradise, is trusting in the blood of Yahusha, Messiah, trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection. See Acts 2:38, Mark 16, it'll come to me in a moment there, but it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in the Messiah, in Yahusha, Messiah, unto good works. That's Ephesians 2:8-10, if you wanted to read all that. But the Messiah himself said, commonly called Jesus there, we call him Yahusha, Messiah, said in Matthew 7:21, why do you call me master, master, and do not the things which I say? So let's go to Romans chapter 2 and research on that theme a little bit more about the repentance here, because that's got to be our bait too. We are given the bait here to repent and turn from and have a change of heart, because the wages of sin is death, but the rewards of heaven is eternal life. That's also from Romans chapter 6. So, Romans chapter 2, then, as I said, chapter 2, 3 through 8, and I'm reading from the Living Version. I might have to go back to the King James, because there's a great deal of some errors in here that were probably not deliberate, but the King James is the closest, is the most accurate there. So 2, 3 through 8, that's chapter 2, 3 through 8. Do you think that Yahweh will judge and condemn others for doing them and overlook you? So that he will judge others for doing these bad works and overlook you when you do them too? Don't you realize how patient he is with you, or don't you care? Can't you see that he has been waiting all this time without punishing you to give you time to turn from your sin? Oh, that's the real bait there. That's the right stuff. Don't you think he's giving you time to turn from your sin? His kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. But no, you won't listen. He says here to these Romans, no, you won't listen, and so you are saving up terrible punishment for yourselves because of your stubbornness and refusing to turn from your sin, for there is going to come a day of wrath when Yahweh will be the just judge of all the world. He will give each one whatever his deeds deserve. And once again, we're not saved by works. We're saved by salvation is through the Messiah only, through his work on the tree at Calvary when he died and shed his blood for our sins. But still, that doesn't mean that we give up everything else. We don't give up singing, and we don't give up obeying him either. He will give eternal life to those who patiently do the will of Yahweh, seeking for the unseen glory and honor and eternal life that he offers. But he will terribly punish those who fight against the truth of Yahweh and walk in evil ways. Yahweh's anger will be poured out upon them. So I just want to repeat that first part. He will give eternal life to those who patiently do the will of Yahweh, seeking for the unseen glory and honor and eternal life that he offers. The next reference is found also in Romans, in chapter 3, 10 through 12, out of this Living Version. It says, as the scripture says, no one is good. No one in all the world is innocent. No one has ever really followed Yahweh's paths or even truly wanted to. Every one has turned away. All have gone wrong. No one anywhere has kept on doing what is right. Not one. Then verse 23 through 26. Yes, all have sinned. All fall short of Yahweh's glorious ideal. Yet now Yahweh declares us not guilty of offending him if we trust in the Messiah, who in his likeness freely takes away our sins. For Yahweh sent the Messiah, for the Father sent Messiah to take the punishment for our sins and to end all of Yahweh's anger against us. He used Messiah's blood and our faith as the means of saving us from his wrath. This way he was being entirely fair, even though he did not punish those who sinned in former times. For they were looking forward to the time when Messiah would come and take away those sins. And now in these days also, he can receive sinners in the same way, because Messiah took away their sins. So we're reading here in chapter 3. And let's see. And then let's go to verse 31. You can read the rest, but I'm going to skip to verse 31. 3:31. Well then, if we are saved by faith, does this mean that we no longer need to obey Yahweh's laws? Just the opposite. In fact, only when we trust the Messiah can we truly obey him. Only when we trust him can we obey him. And then 4:24 of Romans, and 25, and says here, it was for us too, assuring us that Yahweh will accept us. So he's talking about Abraham's benefit. The benefit was for us too, assuring us that Yahweh will accept us in the same way he accepted Abraham, when we believe the promises of Yahweh who brought back the Messiah, our master, from the dead. He died for our sins and rose again to make us right with Yahweh, filling us with Yahweh's the Messiah was raised for our justification. I'm going to read that there from that from the original and not from this Living Version, because it says here, he made us right with Yahweh, filling us with Yahweh's goodness. Well, you know, what does that mean? Could mean anything, Yahweh's goodness, anything we think it means. But when we talk about righteousness, then we're being talking about the standard that he has, the righteous standard Yahweh has for each and every one of us, Jew or Gentile. Now chapter 5, verse 20. That's Romans 5:20. And Adam caused many to be sinners because he disobeyed Yahweh. Messiah caused many to be made acceptable to Yahweh because he obeyed. Verse 20, the Ten Commandments were given so that all could see the extent of their failure to obey Yahweh's laws. But the more we see our sinfulness, the more we see Yahweh's abounding favor forgiving us. Before sin ruled over all men and brought them to death. But now Yahweh's kindness, Yahweh's unmerited favor, rules, R-U-L-E-S, rules instead, giving us right standing with Yahweh and resulting in eternal life through Yahawhosha, our Master. To chapter 6 of Romans, 1 through 6. Well, then, shall we keep on sinning so that Yahweh can keep on showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Should we keep on sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became true believers, when we became the separated ones, the chosen ones, when we believed on Him and in Him and followed His way, and we were immersed or baptized to become a part of Yahawhosha, the Messiah. Through His death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with Him by baptism when He died, and when Yahweh the Father, with His great power, Yahweh-like power, brought Him back to life again, brought the Messiah back to life again, you were given His wonderful new life to enjoy. For you have become a part of Him, and so you died with Him, so to speak, when He died, and now you share His new life and shall rise as He did. Your old desires were nailed to the tree, to that gnarly tree, or people call it the cross. Your old desires nailed to the tree with Him, that part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded, so that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. And just the culture alone could probably try to draw us back into sin and being around people who are exposed to today's worldly, carnal culture, the Babylonian culture we have around us. So we just try to avoid that as much as possible, keep on praying, walking in the Spirit daily, and not fulfilling the law, the lusts of the flesh, that part of the law that... We don't want to serve the law of sin and death any longer. Now let me repeat now in Romans 6:5, for you have become a part of Him, and so you died with Him, so to speak, when He died. And now you share His new life and shall rise as He did. But then the rest of the story is in Romans 6:23, though. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life through Yahawhosha, our Maker, our Master, our Messiah. The wages of sin is death. The free gift of Yahweh is eternal life. So we have there the lure or the bait that we don't want to incur the wages of sin, which is death, but we want to inherit the free gift of Yahweh, eternal life, through the Master Messiah. Next here on a thought for today, we're going to be going to Malachi. The book of Malachi has many, many warnings in it, also lots of encouragement, but... I'm going to open the Old Faithful King James here, if you want to call it the trusty dusty. That's probably not right, but it is kind of old looking, but it's always new and fresh. It's the last book in the so-called older scriptures, in the so-called Old Testament, and reading some quotations here, some verses for you from Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. The priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Therefore also I made you contemptible and base before all the people. I made you lowest, the scum of the earth, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. You've only believed part of the law. You've preached 8 of the commandments, 9 of the commandments, but you haven't preached them all. You haven't preached the whole law, the commandments, statutes, and judgments. To restrain from sexual immorality, that we need to also keep ourselves from abominable things, of abominable meats, and that we need to keep Yahweh's feast days, not the feast days of the world, of mankind. So, Malachi 2:10, have we not all one Father? Has not one mighty one created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? And let's move over here to talks a little bit about in verse 14. Because Yahweh has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you deal treacherously, or against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? And then therefore take, I'm going to skip a little, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, saith he hates putting away. And then 2:17, you have wearied Yahweh with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that does evil is good. Everyone that does evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he delights in them. Or where is, they ask, where is the the mighty one of judgment. Or here it says G-O-D. Where is the God of judgment? Where is the Elohim? Where is the mighty one of judgment? So they just come up with, well, just that God is love. That's all. And then don't define what love means at all. Then in chapter 3, talks about tithing there. I really like this burning verse here in Malachi 3, too. Maybe you like that as well if you're like me on the cutting edge of things, of the spiritual side of the word here, and what isn't spiritual. But 3, verse 2, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Actually, I was thinking, who shall abide in the day of Yahweh? Was the verse I was really thinking of there. But and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Verse 5, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, or oppress the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith Yahweh of hosts. I am Yahweh, I change not. So see, he doesn't change his nature, his character, his standards. For I am Yahweh, the mighty one, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed, even from the days of your fathers. He says you won't be consumed because of his mercy. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahweh of hosts. But you said, where shall we return? Then he gets into the tithing issue here. Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Well, I don't want to discuss the tithes and offerings, because where would you give the... Well, I could perhaps recommend the Gideons, the National Gideon Society, so that we could publish more scriptures. And there's also Hezekiah at tntrevealed.org, or jewsforyeshua.org, who is studying, and he's going to be publishing the New Testament from a Hebraic mindset, from a Messianic mindset. That's jewsforyeshua.org. You have said, it is vain to serve Yahweh, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they attempt Yahweh, or even delivered. But then they that feared Yahweh spoke often to one to another, and Yahweh the Father hearkened. Or Yahweh the Son, he is one. So Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. J-E-W-E-L-S, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern, or know the difference between the righteous and the wicked. You'll know between him that serves Yahweh and him that serves him not. So is that judging, or what? You're going to be judging yourself. You're going to be using the law to judge yourself. Use his standards that are found, for example, in Exodus 20, or Exodus 21, 22, and 23, or Leviticus 23. Deuteronomy 14, Deuteronomy 16 about the feasts, chapter 14 about the clean and unclean in the feasts, chapter 16 about the feasts, and many, many other places, Isaiah 66. And then Malachi 4, behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, and all they that do wickedly, yes, shall be stubble, and the day that comes shall burn them up, saith Yahweh of hosts, and it shall not leave them root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In that day shall I do this, saith Yahweh of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel. So remember, see, this is only 3 verses away from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. 3 verses away from that, and he's saying to remember it. Remember, that's easy to remember. This is the law of Yahweh, or the law of Moses. They're interchangeable. Remember that you're the law of Yahweh, or the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded in Mount Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes, or specifically the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Eliah, or Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with utter destruction. And that's the end of the so-called Old Testament, or older scriptures, I mean. And then we're going to read Revelation chapter 21. And I saw the pure city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, the Sukkot, the tent, the building, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be with them, and be their mighty one. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, and that's the Messiah, the Son, he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said in Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, that's the Messiah, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Well, he was already perfect, but we don't want to get into that Arian argument there about, was he created? And no, Yahweh the Messiah is eternal. He created the world. Matthew chapter 6 is next. We just read Revelation 21 and Hebrews 5. Revelation 21, we saw the pure city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Yahweh out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So Matthew 6 says, hey, take no worry. What did Telly Savalas used to say? Hey, who loves you, baby? But I've got the one here who says, don't worry, be happy. I just pushed the button on this giant Billy Big Bass fish, and he says, don't worry, be happy. But I don't know, a slogan doesn't really do anything for me, but Yahweh's word does. This could be my slogan. Maybe we could program that fish there and say, Matthew 6:30, wherefore if Yahweh so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that all of you have need of these things. But seek, all of you, first the kingdom of Yahweh, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the next day, for the next day shall take thought for the things of itself. There's a Italian song, let's forget about domani, let's forget about domani, let's forget about tomorrow. Therefore take no thought for the next day shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Yahushua the Messiah said that, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're getting close here to the end now. Acts chapter 4, and so far we're about 35 minutes into the broadcast, into this file here, looking real good. Acts 4:12, speaking of the Messiah again, who is called the Rock, the Stone. This is the stone which was set at nothing for you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Or, this is the stone which was set at nothing for you builders, which has become the headstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There isn't any other name. And it's not a substitute name, a heathen name. It's not Ernie, George, the man upstairs, or different titles like that. And, it really does matter what name we write and call him, what name is written in the scriptures. It really does matter, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we've studied it a lot. We know, and you can look on our website, all the different names and titles that we know that it isn't. But it has been said that nobody knows for certain what is the Messiah's name. Well, it comes from Hosea, or Hosha, and also from Joshua. So that kind of gives you a clue there. But anyway, the purpose is not to study his name here at this moment. His name is the same, whether you go to Russia, well, they'll pronounce it differently, or, in Jerusalem, or Japan, or South America, in New Delhi, in India. Wherever you go, it should still be the same. I know that they still say Satan the same way. So why can't Yahweh's name, the Father, be the same? And Yahushua, the Son of the Father, be the same? His name is the same. So we don't want to change the spelling of that radically to where it destroys his name and destroys the whole meaning and concept. So here is the bait. Only in the Son, Yahushua the Messiah, are we worthy of everlasting life. And that is the right bait. If you don't have the scriptures yet, and you do have a computer, try eSword, and also Bible Pro, but eSword, that's E-S-W-O-R-D, or Bible Pro, and I think it's eSword.com. Actually, I've never tried that one because I've got so many others. I've got the E4 program for only $5. I've got a Greek and Hebrew lexicon in there. I've got the Strong's Concordance, and it's all interrelated and tied in, where I'll just click on a word, like, therefore, take no thought for the next day. So I can click on therefore, no thought for the next day. I can click on any word I want, and it'll bring up the Strong's Concordance, which is just your basic armchair evangelical interpretation there. But if you go deeper into the Hebrew lexicon, then you're really going in with both feet and getting in right. So that's one way to go at it. Bible Pro for Windows is for your iTouch, your Android, and many others. So that's Bible Pro. I've been using that to put this study together, and that worked very easily for me. I think it's interactive online. But you can also order the disc, as I said, the $3 disc there with Bible Pro software. But I think I was just, today I was just doing it online, and it just really came up fast. That was really nice. So let's stay in the Word, not just studying by reading it from cover to cover quickly. For example, when we read the book of the Psalms, we like to give it some meaning. We don't just like to accurately pronounce every word and every syllable and make it all sound good and smooth flowing. That's fine, you know, but if we race through it, I could give you an example of that, but if we race through something, then we don't really understand or absorb. We don't have that rational understanding that we need to have there. So, we got to give it some thought, and then we might look up all the different scriptures in that one particular idea or area, and look up all the interrelated scriptures or some more of them anyway. And that'll help us understand, get the whole counsel of Yahweh, the harmony of His Word, the interpretation within the context of Genesis to Revelation, not just within the book, not just want to go to one particular book, but all of them having to deal with that particular subject, and that would be even more helpful. I know that takes a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time and energy these days, it seems like, in such a fast-paced world. We should, with all the gadgets and things, but anyway, on the Sabbath day, we do everything to study, and we can just set aside all this time, whether it's Father's Day or on the Sabbath, or Mother's Day on the Sabbath. You have yourself a good one. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, we're at yahweh.com and .name. That's yahweh.name. And also, we do the broadcast in the morning and the afternoon on teddysmediaradio.com. And there's also contact information in there where you can email us. Have a good day.